Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Happy Mother's Day. It's the day of the year that we can sleep in and eat whatever we want, and we're pampered with gifts, and we get to spend some time honoring our moms, our mother-in-laws, our aunties, and everybody else that's in our lives as well. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. And what did you get today? I actually am fortunate that one of the gifts I got was to see my daughter graduate from Clemson University. And it's a very proud moment when you see one of your children cross that stage and you know that the first level of college is over. I only say that because she's going on to graduate school at the University of Notre Dame. And one thing I'd love to share with you guys, because I've been here on Mom Talk Radio for over 20 years now, sharing my journey through motherhood, is that this coming week, I actually get to graduate from University of Notre Dame as well with my Master's of Business Administration. It's a lifelong dream that I've had to get my MBA, and I'm really excited that I actually am graduating with one of my children. So mom and son will both be graduating this week from the University of Notre Dame, me from the master's program and my son from undergrad. And it's just going to be, I can't even tell you, it was such an amazing experience to go back to school at the age of 50 and then to be able to share it with one of my children as well. It just, it's an experience that I'm going to hold near and dear to my heart for the rest of my life. But it's Mother's Day. The spotlight is on us now. And next week, it'll be on me as I cross the stage. So I'm sharing it with you and saluting you for all of your support that you've given me throughout the year as a mom. And hopefully I've given a little back to you as well. We have a great show lined up for you today. We have Dr. Carmen Hara, who's going to be with us. We have Teresa Power, who's going to be with us. We have a representative from parents and teachers organizations. It's just going to be a fantastic show. And I'm so happy that you have decided to spend a little bit of your Mother's Day with me here on Mom Talk Radio. I want to quickly thank our sponsor, Premama. Drinkpremama.com is the website where you can find all of their products, everything from infertility to prenatal vitamins to lactation formulas, all that is in a powdered form that you can put into your orange juice, your smoothie, or whatever you want. It gives you all of the vitamins that you need as a mom. So for all of you moms who are celebrating your first Mother's Day, I want to, particularly on behalf of Premama, say happy Mother's Day to you. When we return, we're going to turn our spotlight on one mom who's doing amazing things at SweetRoseStudios.com.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have our first guest. Her name is Katie Waltmeyer, and she's the mother of three. She blogs and has a website at SweetRoseStudio.com, where you can find her on Twitter at SweetRoseStudio. And Katie, I want to, first of all, wish you a happy Mother's Day, and welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, Maria. Thank you for having me, Maria, and happy Mother's Day to you, too.
So, what is your ideal Mother's Day?
Oh, gosh. Just spending it with my kids, really. I mean, they're the reason why I get to celebrate Mother's Day. Just hanging out around home. We're so busy during the week that getting a chance to just spend quality time with them is amazing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, it's always the best gifts are the ones that are handmade and somewhat clever and that kind of thing. So you have three children. How old are they?
I have a son who just turned 8, a daughter who is 6, and another daughter who is 20 months.
So you are quite busy there in Arizona with three kids. So we're coming upon the summer months, and you know, this is the time of year that a lot of parents kind of dread because we have to entertain our kids. What are you doing this year, and how do you keep kids engaged during the summer?
Well, here in Arizona, it is hot, so we don't get out a whole lot more than just swimming in the pool. So I've really started to take a look at what is offered in our community that we can go and do during the day. And we have big plans for library read-aloud time, visiting some of our local children's and science museums, you know, just doing things that get us out of the house but will not make us super sweaty in the process.
And how do you work it when you have kids of different ages? Like, how do you engage everybody?
That's the great thing about the children's and museums and the science centers is that they typically have something that will appeal to all of the age ranges for all of my kids. And, you know, my son, who's 8, is still just kind of a big goofball at heart, and he loves getting down and playing with his little sisters. So giving him some ownership and some leadership in there helps, even though it may not be everything at his level, he still feels like he's a part of it and gets to be involved, which is great.
And so you do you have any trips planned, or do you do staycations? What are you doing about that?
Well, I was a teacher, and I always said that I was never going to take my kids out during the school year, but that's what we tend to do because it's less crowded, and I feel like we get to do more with our kids during that time. Mm-hmm. So during the summer, we really try and just do staycations and do things locally around where we're at. Like, we try to visit some of the more historical type landmarks so that they get a chance to see the history of where we live. Because during the year is when we get a chance to go see other places, but I want to make sure that they are engaged with where we live and understand where they come from.
That makes sense. And, you know, I think another thing that we forget about as parents is that there are so many national parks and state parks around that we probably drive by during the school year and never really turn in to see what they're all about. But it's a really good time the summer to go out there and just discover these little state parks that you probably have never even thought to visit.
Absolutely. You know, this is the time of the year when I don't have to get kids to and from dance classes or football practice or, you know, do all those kinds of things. So these are the times when we can really just take a minute, step back, just go explore where we live, which is great.
Yeah. You know, I think also a lot of people don't realize that the National Park Service, you can actually buy a summer pass that would allow you to visit multiple parks for just one low fee. So if you're a mom out there listening, you might want to go to the national park and also to your state park websites to see what kind of summer deals they offer. And if you're military, I know that they offer a military discount. So take advantage of some of those. And which leads me to, you know, you were talking about the Children's Museum, and sometimes the summer months, what I've found as a parent, can be more expensive than having your kids in school, even if you have to pay private school tuition, like some of us do. How do you budget for the summer months?
Well, in our area, there's something called a Pogo Pass, where you can get admissions to a bunch of different places. I would look up and see if there is some kind of pass that you can pay one flat fee and it gets you into a variety of attractions and museums and things like that for the summer months. And then you're not paying an arm and a leg. Also, some places, if you go earlier in the day or certain days of the week, they have a discounted rate. So I definitely look for those, too, to help out with the cost because it does get expensive. The Children's Museum, the Science Centers, the Zoo, all those kind of things, the yearly passes do definitely offer a discount, something to look into if you have older kids and you know you can get there more often.
Right.
Or just try and visit it once or twice. You know, if you're going to go, make it a good time. Spend the whole day there. Really plan it out. Get the most for your money while you're there.
You know, you just reminded me of something. You know, I was talking about the, you were talking about the annual passes. I believe, and maybe somebody can tweet me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that if you have a an annual pass for your local zoo and they belong to the National Zoological Society, that annual pass actually will allow you to get into zoos in other cities, because we actually went on a very long road trip when my kids were a little bit younger. And because we had that pass, it was like every city we would go to the zoo because it offered us free admission into the zoo. And it was just a good way to get everybody out of the car. And, you know, even if we weren't going to stay in that city, if we came up across a city that had a zoo, we would just go because we knew that, hey, that was a good way to get out of the car for an hour, tire everybody out. And then they want to take a long nap when they get back in. So you might also check that out. Yeah, you might also check that out.
The part I like about that, too, is that then you're getting to the different animals and different landscapes of all the different places that you're visiting, because it's not just the same elephants and giraffes and all the good stuff that everybody loves to see, but there are animals and plants and all kinds of good stuff that's native just to that specific area.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. So I want to get this in before we have to leave you, that your blog is www.sweetrosestudio.com, and you can find Katie there. Katie, I hope you have a great Mother's Day, and thank you so much for sharing some of your holiday with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you very much. We're going to be talking with the former First Lady of Idaho and a longtime advocate for children and families in her home state. Excited to have a phenomenal mother today on Mom Talk Radio on Mother's Day, Patricia Kempthorne. She's the founder of the Twiga Foundation. She is the former First Lady of Idaho, a beautiful state. You should put it on your vacation list, and a longtime advocate for children and families in her home state and on the national level. She serves as the vice chair of Parents as Teachers National Center Board of Directors, and has been selected as a 2016 National Mother Achievement recipient by American Mothers. And I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Patricia, and congratulations on all of your mother awards.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about your interest in children and Parents as Teachers, which I think is an organization that's near and dear to your heart. Tell us about the organization and how it supports us moms.
Well, Parents as Teachers is a very important organization. It was started over 30 years ago in Missouri, and it's really about helping parents, bringing parents information they need about raising their children. It's an evidence-based organization, prenatal through kindergarten, and it's a family support program. And it partners with parents to help them ensure their children are healthy, ready to succeed in school, and really just in life. And it's been a very impactful, important program in the whole country, in 50 states, and some internationally also.
Another thing that you're involved in is the Block Fest.
Back in 2005, when we were very active in Parents as Teachers in Idaho, when my husband was governor, we did a demonstration project. And one of the things we found was that we needed to create ways in which the parents and the children could come together. So we did group meetings for parents as teachers. But what about some activities? And one of the things that was missing was something more about math and STEM education. So the authors of BlockFest were really part of the parents as teachers demonstration project. And they created this wonderful interactive exhibit of five different types of blocks where parents and children play together. And I always say, I'm not really teaching children how to play with blocks. I'm teaching parents how to play with blocks with children, giving them the comfort level that, you know, you're doing math and science all the time in your life, and getting down on the floor and teaching them how to play with the children in such a way that everybody grows. So it's the I wonder experience. It's what would happen if, and it's really been so positive and so great. We have moved it to, we're in 12 states, we're in about 47 different locations around the country, and we work through Head Starts, through schools, through parents as teacher programs also. But it's really about that parent-child engagement that's so important in those early years of life. And so, it's based on research that shows that children who play with blocks, and these are non-interlocking blocks, and we chose five different types, between the ages of 8 months and 8 years, it shows up in their high school math, cognitive skills. They take more AP classes. They're more interested in STEM education. Mm-hmm. And it's that brain development that occurs in the early years. And that in conjunction with the parents, because we all know for early years, it's the environment the children are in, their interaction with the other adults. So it really addresses all of those. And it is, besides that, it's just so much fun. So, right. So Blockfest itself has been great.
How can our moms get involved in all of this?
Well, you can go to blockfest.org, and it'll show you more about BlockFest. There's some great videos, some examples of that. Going to a Parents as Teacher program, if you have one, can introduce you to BlockFest. And parentsandteachers.org also, if you want to learn more about that online and where they are in your state or in your community. If you're involved in a Head Start program, in schools, kind of, we're in several states, but if you contact us at blockfest.org, we can tell you where there might be a BlockFest program. But I really encourage parents just to get more blocks, just to play with blocks or create them with what you have at home, and really spend time intentionally on the floor with your children. And it's the simple thing of just building up a tower and letting it fall down, but talking to them about what they're doing and using the words around it that really help both in language development, in the social emotional skills, and the STEM education.
Patricia, thank you so much for all of the many years that you've dedicated to helping our children. And, you know, as a Mother's Day salute, we should be saluting you for everything that you've done, and congratulations on your awards and such. We also have a link to parentsasteachers.org on Mom Talk Radio, and we hope that after you finish getting out of the bubble bath, all you moms out there are putting up your feet, that maybe tomorrow you'll go visit parentsasteachers.org. Thank you so much for being with us today, Patricia, on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to yoga, the ABCs of yoga for kids. You thought it was just about you, Mom? No, now your children can do yoga with you, and we're going to find out how from Teresa Ann Power.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
So moms, I know today you're thinking about pampering yourself and doing something for yourself, but it doesn't have to end there. You can do yoga starting tomorrow. And best of all, you don't have to do it without your children, because our next guest has written an award-winning book called The ABCs of Yoga for Kids. And a newly released, The ABCs of Yoga for Kids, A Guide for Parents and Teachers. So Teresa Ann Power can certainly tell you how to do that. So welcome, Teresa, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I have to tell you, I'm an avid runner. I've run dozens of marathons, and unless I'm like sweating like a dog, I just don't feel like I've exercised. And but I have to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I did the yoga session of P90X, and it kicked my butt. I just felt like I had, I guess, mischaracterized yoga for all these years.
You're not alone. I think a lot of people like you think of exercise as sweating, you know, running, you know, playing tennis, you know, the cardiovascular, but yoga can be very cardiovascular as well, which I think people don't realize. For instance, there's this one pose, it's called Warrior Three, where you're standing up tall and then you bring your foot down and bring the opposite leg up in the air with your arms out in front of you, and that actually works your heart muscles and is good for your cardiovascular system. And I think a lot of people, like I said, don't realize that you can get a great workout from doing yoga.
Can we talk about, like, kids in yoga? How young can they be to start and all of that?
Yeah, I would love to. And that's an interesting point, too, because now more and more schools are offering yoga to the children and preschools. So, for instance, young children as young as 3 years old can be doing yoga poses on their own, independently, simple yoga poses. And that's why I wrote the book that I did, because it has simple illustrations showing how to do all the particular poses. And so, therefore, they bring this yoga home wanting to do it with their parents. And conversely, a lot of parents do yoga and the kids want to copy them and do yoga. So either way, parents are helping their kids or kids are helping their parents get into yoga.
So how young can they start?
Well, I'd say like independently 3 years old. Okay, toddlers can start independently, but babies naturally are very flexible. So,
wow.
So moms can do certain yoga poses, or they can, you know, like for instance, just sitting in the butterfly pose where you're just sitting down with the soles of your feet together that stretches out your hips. That's one that most babies can do. And if parents just kind of hold them up and kind of manipulate their bodies into simple yoga poses, they can do that. And certainly an 18-month-old to like 2.5 can do some of the postures with, you know, supervision. But 3 years old is the ideal age where mm-hmm. they can start doing it independently, as well as with their parents, you know, and actually
wow.
have fun doing it with their parents because they can do it alongside each other and the parent doesn't really have to help the child particularly. They can do it together.
Certainly, we're not going to start them off with an hour of P90X.
Oh, no. And also, what I don't think that that parents realize is that even 5 minutes of yoga can go a long way towards developing the habit of doing these stretches. And a lot of times, you can just do some simple yoga poses with your child. Like I said, just for 5 minutes, you know, pick maybe five different poses to do together. It's the idea of doing something together that's healthy, where the cell phone's off, where the to-do lists are not there, where you're just really there being present with your child. And even as easy as just breathing, because I don't know if the class you did focused on the breath, but really the type of breathing that's really beneficial for yoga and also in general to calm you down is mm-hmm. to take a deep breath in through your nose, and with your mouth closed, you exhale through your nose. And that's very different than what a lot of times you've been taught is inhale through the nose, but maybe exhale through the mouth, but it's all through the nose. And that really gets more oxygen into your brain. It kind of slows you down and starts to relax you because, you know, yoga can be very relaxing as well as a workout at the same time.
I actually get stressed out because I'm like, okay, am I doing it right? I get stressed out that I'm not doing it correctly. So what advice could you give me about that?
I think a lot of people worry about that, so it ends up kind of taking away from the idea that yoga de-stresses you. But on the other hand, there is no right or wrong way to do the poses, and this is what I tell the kids to do too, and what I teach parents to work with kids, is that basically, and for you, is when you get into a pose, let your body feel the pose. Like the instructor is going to tell you, let's say, to do down dog, okay? So mm-hmm. you're going to get into the pose, but don't worry about doing it perfectly, and I really believe that instructors shouldn't really be, you know, manipulating other people's bodies or trying to get them into the perfect pose, but let you feel the pose in your own body because eventually it's going to get there. Everyone has a different body type, right? And everyone is born differently. You're either flexible or you're strong, but normally people are not both. And so yoga teaches your body how to be strong and flexible at the same time. But there's no such thing as a perfect posture. As long as you're trying the right way, you're getting 100% benefit. So you need to eliminate that thought from your mind, because you just need to go and feel it in your body. As long as you're feeling like you're getting something out of it and not pushing too hard, right, but just stretching as far as you can comfortably go, then you're going to get 100% benefit.
There you have it. Quickly, where can moms go to find out more information about you and your books?
ABCYogaForKids.com. Yeah, and they can find out more about it. The book has all these colorful illustrations in it, and a lot of it's all based on the alphabet. So it's an alphabet book as well as learning about yoga poses.
That's pretty cool. So before I let you go, we've been asking all of our moms and women today on Mother's Day, what is your perfect Mother's Day?
Mine is actually being able to sleep in and doing some yoga. I mean, honestly, I like doing yoga on Mother's Day, and I like doing yoga with my own kids because both of them practice yoga, and that, to me, is the perfect Mother's Day present, is just to be able to do some yoga with my kids. Even, like, sometimes we just do some simple poses together maybe for 10 minutes, but it's just nice to spend that time with my kids relaxing and not worrying about to-dos or what we have. You know, I mean, all the to-do lists and everything else.
Right.
That, to me, is my perfect Mother's Day present.
I get you, because I like to do the same thing. Well, thank you so much for spending some of your Mother's Day with us, Teresa. Teresa Ann Power. She's the author of The ABCs of Yoga for Kids, a guide for parents and teachers. And you can go to our website to learn more about it and find a link over to Teresa. When we return, we're going to be talking about the unique relationship of a mother and a son.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this Mother's Day, we're going to focus on the relationship between mother and son and the respect effect. That's the new title of Dr. Emerson Eggerich, who is an internationally known public speaker on the topic of male-female relationships. He and his wife developed the Love and Respect Conference, which they present to live audiences across the country. And to date, his books have actually sold over 1.5 million copies. So we're super excited to have him with us today. And welcome, Dr. Emerson, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Maria. I appreciate it so much. On Mother's Day, love to connect with their children. I think this idea of connectivity is huge. I mean, connecting with their children is an off-the-chart value to moms. You know, but here's the frustration. A lot of times that connection just doesn't happen as often or as deeply as many moms desire, especially with their boys, whether the boy is 4 or whether he's 40. But we're excited because, in a sense, we've made a discovery here, that what I call the secret hidden in plain sight, that I think can really encourage mothers to better connect with their boys. And actually, my wife, Sarah, we've been married since 1973. We have 3 adult children. And my wife, as well as many other mothers, really put me onto this as they began to apply some things that we had been talking about in marriage. They began to apply some of this to their boys and were blown away by the results.
One of my sons will tell you that I'm his best friend, his mentor in business, is his best friend. He's getting married this summer, and I'm really afraid of losing that that relationship, because now another woman is coming into the mix here. What's the difference between love and respect, and then how do you preserve that through, you know, a lifetime of where other people become part of the relationship?
One, we say there is a distinction between love and respect. I mean, we respect our boss, but we don't love our boss. We can love our teen boy, but we don't feel any respect for him right now. So they're not synonymous, though they do cross over with each other. But to your point, we are addressing this issue. How does a mother continue to communicate her deep respect for her boy? And obviously you've done that. The fact that he has a friendship with you, that he seeks your wisdom, that you've mentored him, you are at the top of the chart, Maria, and having achieved what I'm longing for mothers to know. We talk about the fact that some moms are just really good moms with boys. It's what, they may not be conscious of it, but they've done what I'm saying in this book. They've understood how to confront their son, for instance, when they're upset with him in ways that are respectful. You know, I'm upset with you right now. You're an honorable young man, but what you did is not respectable. How do I communicate you in such a way that you don't feel I'm trying to diss you right now? I'm spitting mad over what you've done. You're an honorable man. Now let's talk about this. See, it's what I call respect talk. And my prediction is you've done that toward your boy, and boys will connect with a mother that way, even if she's rebuking him, because he feels honored by her, not just loved. It's a sad day when a boy says, I know my mother loves me, but I don't believe she likes me. And so you've done that with great success, and now you're saying, you know what, I kind of feel like I'm going to lose something here pretty precious, and I hear you loud and clear. What I think, you know, again, it's not so much that you're going to be excluded as now you've got another woman in the equation, and how can you continue to move forward as a team together? But I would have to believe that that relationship is not going to end because of what you've built into it. It'll perhaps be a little bit more difficult with the daughter-in-law, not so much with your boy.
I know, but you know what? You don't want that either. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be one of those mother-in-laws where, or raise a son that is mommy's boy either.
That's exactly right. And that's where you've got to cut the you know, they say some kids show up at the university with their umbilical cord just having been cut. You know, and we've got to let that independence be there. And if you let that independence be there, the son will continue to respond to you. But yeah, the mother-daughter-in-law situation is a different topic for another time. But I think it is the thing that mothers want. They want to maintain that connection. And the question is, for the mother who isn't even experiencing that connection, you know, I had a mother write me, she said, if my son does something that's not worthy of respect, I can quickly fall into this trap of disappointment and even disdain. It then gives me a feeling of, oh, he might never change. And then I feel like a bad mom because I feel indirectly that his behavior is somehow my fault or reflects on me. And after this, I probably give off this attitude of disappointment. And I know only too well that my son can tell. And the very hardest thing then is to see your son defeated and down. And she says, as mothers, we practice and look for ways to love, but maybe more importantly, we should be looking for opportunities to respect our sons. And that's what this book is about. How do you use respect talk to motivate the boy? Because he knows you love him. And what's even interesting, boys filter things in a way that daughters don't. You know, the research points when a mother's upset, her eyes turn dark, her face turns sour, hand on the hip, scolding finger, the sigh, the roll in the eyes, head goes back. And when estrogen kicks in, the word choice of contempt is incredible. Now, when she does that toward her daughter, they're going to end up in the bed talking for a half hour, and then one will say, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry, too. I shouldn't have said that. No, will you forgive me? I forgive you. And they connect. Well, she does the same thing toward the boy who shuts down on her and withdraws. He's not going to sit on the bed and talk about this. And she's saying, what's going on here? What's wrong? Because the girl does not filter it through the disrespect grid. Girls intuitively know the upset that mom is having because she's got the same femininity.
Right.
Whereas the boy filters it through what I call the blue lens and interprets it disrespectfully. So she's got to counter that misrepresentation so he will not misinterpret her.
So in 60 seconds or less, can you just tell me, like, what would be the one piece of advice that you give a mom about her relationship with her son?
Well, I think this mother captures quite well. When my son gives me his insight, I say, I really respect what you have to say, or I respect the way you handled that situation, or I really respect how you're taking initiative to get things done and follow through with. She said, these things have made my son smile like I have never seen. I talk more about respect with regard to sporting events and showing respect for other opponents. My son knows without a doubt that I love him. Now I feel he knows that I value him and his ideas, which I may not have done so well in the past.
Thank you so much. And the website to more of Dr. Emerson's very insightful relationship is loveandrespect.com. You might even learn something about you and your husband on that site as well. Thank you so much for spending some of your Mother's Day with us. And when we return, I'm going into the archives to bring you a segment that I love from a Mother's Day in the past. What would Mother's Day be without a dad on Mom Talk Radio? So, you know, we left the dad for last since it's Mother's Day, but it is, again, Pregnancy Awareness Month as well. So we decided, hey, you know what? Let's talk about pregnancy from the perspective of a dad. And who better to talk to about that than the diaper dude? That's Chris Pegula, and he is the author of From Dude to Dad. and the creator of Diaper Dude, America's most highly profiled line of hip gear for cool dads. And I know, Chris, that when my brother became a dad, your website was the first one I went to because I wanted to get him some hip gear. Because he's like, I'm not carrying that little flowery diaper bag. So I'm excited to have you here, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Well, thanks. So, okay, so let's talk about getting dad prepared for the arrival of the baby. You've got five tips, so let's just start rattling them off, and I can give commentary to them. So what's your first tip?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing that I feel is to really feel like you can get that connection from the beginning, and it's a little bit challenging for guys to feel like they can be connected from the moment they find out that their partner is pregnant, because obviously it's drawn inside of them. So I think that there's a number of different ways that can be done. One is by arming yourself with all of the knowledge by reading not only my book, but books that are out there giving you information on what she's experiencing through each trimester. So you can at least have the knowledge of what she's going through, even though we'll never know firsthand, experiential-wise, what she's experiencing. But you can at least, you know, be on the same page. And, you know, I felt going through every and as many of the appointments that your partner has with the doctor is really important to be a part of, too, because you really get to feel like you understand what's happening at every stage.
It's so really is there a point, though, Chris, where you decide, I got to step back. I want to be involved, but I shouldn't be involved right this second.
Well, you know, I think that it's navigating between, you know, what she's experiencing, whether she's hit hard by the hormones and nausea and the different experience of morning sickness. That's mm-hmm. where you just sort of got to be able to sort of like be willing to step on a landmine, if you will, and take right. it like a man and just sort of deal with it and step back and stay out of the way. Because, like I said, we can never experience that. I tried to simulate it many times, explaining it in my book about, like, imagine yourself, you know, if, for lack of a better description, going out all night and the next day being hungover or something with exhaustion, thinking back to, like, college years. And, you know, you just don't want to deal with anybody. So it's definitely advice that you can just step back and take her lead. And
right,
she
right.
wants you to be okay. out of the picture. Then
so what's the second tip for all the dads out there listening?
You know, I think that another tip is to literally do the most that you can to make your partner feel comfortable. I think that massages are an awesome way to stay connected. And I'm sure that every mom would appreciate some type of massage, foot, back, or whatever it is, just to feel like you are there to sort of assist and be the next in line to whatever she needs to make her feel better.
What was as a dad, what was the thing that was on your mind most? Like, put us in the head of a dad.
You know, I think for me, I was really thinking about how am I getting my life together to be responsible, to be that idea of what I thought a dad was. You know, I have mm-hmm. to have my career in order. I have to have my money all put aside. I have to have all of this. And it was actually through my wife's help that I was able to be like, you know what? I don't have to give up myself thinking that I have a certain identity to portray. I could actually still experience my life and my goals and my dreams. And it's kind of like living your life in the moment and trying to just stay in the moment and not get caught up in that fear. Because that's the thing that'll get you every time, because you think you can't do it. And the reality is, you're going to be amazing, and as long as you make that commitment, just like you did when you get married, if you were married or in a right. relationship, that commitment is the major, major key in my mind.
Right. Well, I want to let everyone know that they can go to diaperdude.com, where they can find not only great products for dad, but also great information from Chris. And Chris, thank you so much. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio to your site. Thanks for giving the dad perspective on this Mother's Day. We had to have one token dad here, so thanks for being it. And I want to turn and wish all of you guys happy Mother's Day. I hope that you've had a great day. Encourage you, if you want to laugh this week, go out and see Mom's Night Out, the movie. Unbelievably funny and grab some popcorn, too. Give yourself permission to eat popcorn, because, you know, that is my favorite food after all. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week right here on Mom Talk Radio.